What's going on, world? This is Kenny Graham back at y'all again. Time and time again, we're back at y'all with another episode of the Success Experience Podcast. Again, I am your host here to inspire, to empower you, and to encourage you to be all that it is that you were created to be and to do everything that God has called you to do. So look, I'm excited. This is a special, special episode. First off, thank you to all the loyal listeners. Thank you to every single person who has followed us since the beginning. Your generous support, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Here, me, and the rest of us here, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to be able to do what it is that we do by inspiring you to be all it is that you're called to be. So look, thank you all so much, first and foremost. Now, this is a special episode, again, because I want to really talk about one of the major keys for success when it comes to those who are successful and those who are not successful. One key that I've discovered about individuals who are successful rather than those who are not successful is that the people who are successful, they execute. And one thing I do know is that every single person, whether you are successful, not successful, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are, you know, doing what it is that you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do, whether you're going to the right path or the wrong path, one thing I know is that every single person that's living on this earth has great potential. Let's just start there. We all have great, great potential because, again, you know, we've been birthed with something. We've been created with something on the inside of us. And so that thing that's on the inside of us is our potential to be able to do what we're supposed to do and to be able to fulfill our dreams and goals and to make whatever we want to make to become a reality. Now, I'm not trying to be wishy-washy here, but I can only say that because of example in my life. You all know my story. We don't have to go too much into it. But for those of you who don't know my story, again, you know, I'm not having a father in my life. Mom raising five children by herself, single mother. Just the things that most kids within the inner cities go through, especially where I come from. You know, growing up on government assistance, food stamps, and you know, I remember my mother having to use her WIC information, you know, WIC. I remember that time. I remember, you know, when we were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and we were eating spaghetti and we were eating hot dogs and, you know, we rarely cooked different things. I knew that life. And so being able to go from that to graduating high school, when at one point I was placed in special education all the way from preschool to high school, I was in special education. I was on this thing called IEP. It was an individual education plan. It was designed for people who they deemed had special needs or were or people who needed special needs, you know. So they had this individual education plan tailored just for the students who may have special needs, and I was in that group. And so being in that group, you get a lot of labels, you get a lot of, you know, people who say, you know, you're never going to be anything. It's just odds after odds, obstacles after obstacles, you know, coming left and right, up and down, north and south. You know, it's just obstacles everywhere. And that's where it started, you know. And coming from that, you know, to graduating high school when individuals said I wouldn't even make it to college and graduate high school, ended up making it to college, getting my bachelor's degree, receiving my master's degree a couple years ago, December 2016, when I'm the only one in my family who's ever gotten a master's degree. I'm a first generation college student. And so I knew that, you know, it didn't matter what I went through, you know, and it mattered to people now because by me sharing my story, you know, I'm able to give an opportunity for people to be free, you know, because I know that there are people who are going through similar things as myself, you know. And so by me sharing my story, by me being transparent, they're given an opportunity to be transparent, which will allow them to experience the freedom that I currently experience today. So I know the importance of sharing your story. I know the importance of it. But one thing I had to understand is that, yes, I have my story. And yes, I've been through my obstacles. But here's an opportunity for me to create a legacy for my family. Here's an opportunity for me to create a legacy for, you know, either our future children, me and my wife, our future children. You know what, you know, it was about me creating a legacy. It was bigger than me. And so by me going for the bachelor's degree and, you know, going through those late nights and going through, you know, those obstacles of trying to get a degree when you're the first generation college student. You never seen it done before. You know, it's you didn't necessarily have any models. And so having to start from scratch, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure. So being able to having to start from scratch, it took a lot out of me. But I knew that at the end of the day, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. And so I share that because, you know, all of us here have potential. Every single person that's listening right now on this podcast episode, you have potential. You really, really do. You have potential. But potential alone is not enough. Potential alone is not enough. Even though I went through my obstacles, I knew at the end of the day I had potential because I had my mother who was constantly speaking it to me. I had certain teachers, certain people who did believe in me. It wasn't a whole lot of people who believed in me, but those who did believe in me, their words stuck to me. And so by them speaking life into me and telling me I had potential, you know, and me coming to realization of it, and I'll actually give you an event in my life where this also took place. For those of you who don't know, after going into my second year of undergrad, not going into my second year of undergrad, but actually getting ready to finish out my second year of undergrad, I was actually on the verge of being dismissed from the university. I recently went to Wright State University, which is in Dayton, Ohio. Very, very great school, public school. It's not like your Texas A&M University. I know me and my wife out here, we're living in Texas right now, and that's next level. Like Texas A&M University, that's next level stuff. You know, me having to go pick up my wife, you know, and just seeing the campus, I'm like, this is next level stuff. But it was something about Wright State that really, you know, that stuck with me and just gave me, you know, the hope that I can come here and I can make a difference, you know. So went to Wright State, and back in 2008 when I started my undergrad, got to my second year, get ready to be kicked out of university. So I'm thinking to myself, this is another obstacle. But you know what? I said to myself that this is an opportunity for me to create a legacy. And so it didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter about that. You know, was I scared? Absolutely. Did I fear that I might be sent home? I might be kicked out? Yes. Listen, when I say I was scared out of my socks when I thought that I was getting ready to be dismissed from the university, it was painful. It was a reality check. It was a reality check. And like I said, the example of someone who saw that potential in me was my former advisor when I was getting ready to be kicked out. His name is Dr. Forrest Wortham. Dr. Forrest Wortham. He's a phenomenal man. You know, just outside of him being an advisor, just a phenomenal man. We were sitting in his office. As we were sitting in his office, he kind of looked over at me and he asked what was going on. I said nothing, you know, nothing. I just wanted to come and talk to you about a class that I'm taking and I'm struggling. And he said, oh, okay, what's up? Talk to me. So I started talking to him, started sharing some of my struggles. And he asked me a question. He went right into it. He said, okay. Started looking at the computer. He said, okay. He said, how many weeks are left in the quarter? This is before quarters transition into semesters. He said, how many weeks are left in the quarter? I said, thinking about it, maybe 3-4. And he said, say it again. I said, about 3-4. And he said, exactly. So you're coming telling me about this class, right? And now, like I said, and you've seen me previous times before this time. So you were struggling in class that whole time, but you didn't think to say anything to me. And so it kind of shocked me because I'm just like, okay, he just came right at me. He didn't kind of reel into that what he wanted to say. He jumped right in on it. And so he jumped right in. I'm frightened. I'm shocked. I'm just like, okay, I never heard somebody just come at me like this. And I'm from Cincinnati, so where I'm from, you talking bad on people, or you talking against somebody. If somebody feel like you talking about them, then they stepping up to you. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, who is this dude talking to? I didn't see him at my advisor at that point. I'm like, who is this dude talking to? But at the end of the day, I'm gonna tell you why I stuck with it and why I didn't run. You know, was because when he approached me, when he started looking at me, he started to check me, I started to understand, you know, this dude is not necessarily here to harm me, but he's here to help me. And so that was another example of someone who saw the potential in me. He said, I know that you can do better than this. And at the time, I had a 1.9 GPA. 1.9 GPA, guys. No, 1.7, I'm sorry. 1.7 GPA. 1.7. And I'm on my last straw. I'm thinking to myself, if I get kicked out of university, my family gonna think I'm a failure. I'm not gonna be a good brother, a good big brother, a good big cousin. I'm not gonna be any of that. I'm just like, it's just like I was really at my last straw. And he looked at me and he said, I know that you can do better. As a matter of fact, he said, I can see you as a straight A student. I'm a black man. In my community, where I come from, that is not a normal thing. Let me tell y'all, that is not a normal thing, especially with the school systems today. And that's a whole nother topic that we could talk about. With the school systems on today, that's like I said, it's a whole nother topic, so we won't even have to go there. But for someone to see that in me, it sparked. That was the moment. That was actually the defining moment for me, because it was at that moment where I decided to not only see the potential for myself, but I knew that if this potential was going to be effective, then I needed to do something with it. I needed to operate in it. I needed to execute on it. And that's one thing I've learned about successful people outside of those who are not successful, is that the successful people not only understand their potential, but they understand that that potential needs execution. That potential needs performance. And it was in that moment when I was in that office with my academic advisor, he looked at me, and as he was speaking into me, I realized that this is not only potential for me, but I need to perform in this. I need to do something. And from that day forth, it started with me going to the library. I was in the library every single day. And I'm telling you, I promise you, I'm not even in school right now because I graduated, but I guarantee you, if we were close to Wright State, me and my wife would live in Ohio right now, and we were close to Wright State, I would probably be at the library almost every day. Because when I was living on campus, I was there every single day. But it was that moment sitting in that room with my former academic advisor and him not only checking me, because like I said, he went straight to checking me, but I needed that because that was accountability. That was accountability, and that accountability got me this far, you know. And so at the end of the day, once he gave me that accountability and he saw the potential in me, I knew I needed to do something. I knew that there were some action steps that I needed to take to be able to see that potential in manifestation. So it started me going to the library, and then it went with me going to class on time, because there were times where I wasn't going to class on time. Let's just keep it real. I was in college, my undergrad. I was in my second year. My first and second year, I was sporadic in coming to class on time. And there were certain things I was doing that was allowing me to be late, you know. But I wasn't going to class on time on a regular. But it was from that meeting where I started going to class on time. Again, I started at the library, started going to class on time. Then it went for me going to the professors. Not only when they told us to come to them, but I went to them on my own initiative. I initiated a lot of the meetings after my second year of undergrad when I was getting ready to be dismissed, because of that one meeting with my academic advisor. It changed the game for everything. So doing that, and it started with those little steps, and then I started seeing results. And then that next quarter, I hit the honor roll. So I said, okay, all right, cool. So I'm seeing some results. So all I got to do is just keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm gonna get these results. So I'm doing what I'm doing because it's education. It's education. It's the university. It's a fixed system. So your performance is what creates the results. Do you feel me? So if whatever results you have, whether you're in college, for those of you who are in college who are listening to this podcast, if you are in college, you know that it's a fixed system. It really is. If you do this, you'll get this. If you study, you're more likely to pass. If you don't study, you're more likely not to pass. And so it's that fixed system. So I knew right then that if I just go in and keep doing this, keep going to the library, and then it went from me talking to other students, where I'm talking to different students who are doing better than me in a certain class that's hard for me, having meetings with them, going to breakfast with professors, you know, outside of the school campus, meeting them at the first watch. I remember one of my advisor who helped me with my graduate school project when I was in graduate school, and we had a meeting at the first watch. That morning, we had a meeting at the first watch because we wanted to talk about some things regarding my project and just what the updates are, just making sure we're still on track. But it was me along with Dr. Lam initiating that. You know, we got together and I said, hey, you know, let's go to breakfast. You know, or she was like, you know, hey, you know, we'll be over at first watch. I won't be on the campus today, but I'll be over at first watch. Let's go there. Okay, cool. You know, so it was those things, those steps that I did that allowed me to get those results. Then it went from honor roll, then it went dean's list, and I actually went dean's list twice. Like I'm talking about it was still on quarters, so it was two quarters in a row where I got on the dean's list. And I'm not sharing all of this to put any glory on myself. I'm just sharing this because I want you to understand the power of not only having potential, but the power of that potential in motion, of the power of that potential in action, and the power when that potential has the performance to it. And so I knew I had the potential because people saw it in me, and I was. But it took me to do it to see that the potential came alive. You know, and now graduating from graduate school, having an opportunity this past August of last year, being invited to speak to the graduate school students, the graduate school, incoming graduate students, and just sharing with them my journey and what I've learned and some advice to kind of help them on their path. And, you know what I'm saying, just sharing my experience for the most part. But it was an experience I was grateful for. And like I said, I cried many nights. I remember when me and my wife, we were still dating. We weren't engaged or married yet, but we were dating. We were doing long distance. And I remember calling her one day and I said, look, I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. And nothing you can say, stop. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do it. And she didn't say anything. I was like, you hear me? I don't think I'm doing this. I'm not going to do this anymore. And she said, okay. Because my wife, she knows me, and she knows that I'm the person that if I say I'm gonna do something, then it's I'm gonna do it. So she didn't say anything. She's like, okay. And from that moment, like after I kept going, I kept talking to her, I kept saying, nope, I'm not gonna do it. And she said, look, I know you. I know what you're all about, and I know how strong you are, and I know that when you say that you're gonna do something, you're gonna do it. Like I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting that. You know, it was like I know what you're capable of. So go ahead and get that degree. You know, you put yourself in a program. You know, now you have to accept the responsibility that comes with it. It's as a matter of fact, something interesting about just an interesting fact about me enrolling and me applying into the graduate school program. It took me two times to apply to get in the program. The first time I applied, I didn't get accepted. I got rejected. Apparently I didn't have the GPA. And so I applied again. And the thing is, I'm not sure why I applied again. I think it was something that told me. I actually know what it is that told me. I believe in my heart that God told me. I believe in my heart that God gave me that ability to be able to do that, to be able to stretch myself. That was an opportunity I believe that God was presenting to me to stretch myself. And so I all of a sudden just applied again, not knowing what's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I was kind of expecting to be to not get accepted again because it happened the first time. And then I looked, they sent me a letter, opened up the letter, and it said, Congratulations, you've been accepted into the Applied Behavioral Science Graduate School Program on a, and they said, however, you're accepted on a, and I think they had an in high letter with capital letters on a provisional basis, I believe. I'm not sure what the letter, I just believe that's what it was. And it's been a long time since I've seen a letter. But I know for sure that the provisional part was highlighted. It was, it was highlighted. So it had big black marks on it, big black lettering on it. You know, no, bold letter, I'm sorry. So it was bold. That part was bold. And it said on a provisional basis. And pretty much what that meant was, I can only continue into the program on the condition that I get a 3.0 or above in my during my first semester. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I gotta get a 3.0. I didn't graduate with a 3.0 from undergrad, so I guess if they giving me the shot, I'm gonna go ahead and just go for it. I'm gonna go ahead and just shoot for it. Whatever happens, happens. You know, if I don't get it, then I'll go home. I'll just, you know what I'm saying? I'll try to make it work. You know what I'm saying? No, I would have had to go out and tell family, you know, I didn't get to continue because I didn't get the GPA, and then having to kind of start all over again, you know, I didn't want to do that. But my thing was, if I had to, I had to. And not believing that I would get like a 3.0, that first semester I ended up getting a 4.0. A 4.0 was that first semester we get a 4.0. And I graduated from the master's program, the graduate school program of applied behavioral science, with a 3.7 GPA. Proud moment, because again, it's that potential. What potentials do you have? Do you even know that you have potential? Have you even come alive to it? And so once I came alive to my potential, I started to activate it. And these are the results that came to play as a result of me activating my potential. Again, potential alone is not enough. Every single person has potential. Do you know that there are people, and this is, I'm not making any light of this, but there are people who literally die with that potential still on the inside of them. There are literally people leave this earth and they haven't been able to do or operate in that thing that they know that they were supposed to operate in. And it's a real fact. And like I said, I'm not trying to make this real like serious dull moment, but I just have to give you that reality. So potential, again, is not enough. It's that performance. You have to do something with the potential that is given to you. I end up getting my master's degree, now working a career where I'm helping kids and doing it in a great way, and in a way that's needed, you know, especially in this area. And being able to build my, you know, doing the podcast, we have a podcast program that we're building, and just a lot of things that are happening, you know, lastly, you know, but very special, being able to marry the love of my life, the woman that did, like, that's doing life with me, you know, the woman that was there when I was just building my stuff, you know, woman that was there when I was in graduate school, you know what I'm saying, trying to manage and try to work through it, you know, and having to go to the libraries and sacrifice time being off the phone with her, you know, doing long distance and, you know, working through that, you know what I'm saying, the woman who actually was there, you know, and is still there to this day, you know, it, listen, all my fellas, listen to me, fellas, you got a good woman, don't let her go. Got a good woman, you better hold on to her. If you have a good woman, you better appreciate her and respect her. I'm telling you, it goes a long way. You better cuff her. I'm telling you. And I know this generation said, our generation today said now, like cuffing. I know people say cuffing season. Ain't no cuffing season when you got a good woman. It's cuffing lifetime. The woman I have, it's lifetime. It's a lifetime thing. This is forever. You know, and so It's humbling to be able to say that even in those challenges in my life that I went through, you know, even during the obstacles and even after, you know, moving from my area and still dealing with the obstacles, it just shows me that every person here has something on the inside of them that can surpass any of that. And it's funny because when I go to some of the elementary schools, like one, I know one for sure. No, it was my elementary school, the one that I graduated from, Silverton Paideia Academy, which is in Cincinnati, Ohio, probably like 5 minutes away from my grandmother's house. But I remember one time going there to speak to the youth, and some of the teachers there, they were surprised. Because they're like, oh, this kid, people didn't think he would even graduate. And now he's got a master's degree, going for a bachelor's degree. Now he has a master's degree. Wow. Can you come in here and talk to my kids? And as a matter of fact, my first speaking engagement was at my former elementary school. I was actually sitting in the class, just came up there to visit, not to do anything, kind of do like some mentoring, kind of talk to the kids and talk to the teachers and kind of catch up with everybody. And I ended up in this class. And this class was a class of one of my former teachers. He was actually an intervention specialist. They're the individuals who taught those who were considered to have special needs. And her name is Mrs. White. She's not there anymore. She's transferred to another school. She's actually teaching at another school. But when she was at my former elementary school, I ended up going into her class. So I'm sitting in the class. She's doing her teaching. And I think at one point they were reading something. So they were reading books, I guess. And she looked over at me and she said, "Would you mind speaking to the class?" And again, I'm in a shock moment. What are you telling? I think about myself, what? This is not what I came for. I came here just to see these teachers. I came here to sit in the class and see how my school was doing. And I walked back over to my grandma's. At the time, I didn't even have a car. So I'm walking back over to my grandma's 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away driving, but probably like 15, a good 10, 15, walking from the school to my grandmother's house. So she said, "Hey, you know, would you mind speaking to the class?" I'm like, "Okay, I just said it, you know, I just accept. I didn't want to disappoint." So I said, "Okay, definitely, I will." And spoke for about 5-10 minutes. Spoke 5-10 minutes, just pouring my heart out. Didn't have anything written, nothing scripted. I mean, it was just pretty much off the cuff, and I was just sharing my heart and my story. And as I was walking home after I spoke, I started walking back home, and I was probably an eighth of a feet away from my grandma's house. So I'm walking, I'm on my way, and I hear this loud yell, and they're yelling, "Kenny!" And I heard my name, and I'm like, "Who was that?" So I kind of put up to the side. I'm like, they're probably calling somebody else. Somebody else probably named Kenny that they saw. And I kept walking, and I heard the yell again, "Kenny!" And it was louder, "Kenny!" And then I looked back, and I saw her walking super fast towards me. And that when she approached me, she said, "Hey, you know, I talked with the principal, and I talked with the rest of the sixth grade teachers in the class, and the teachers there, I want you to come back and speak to the entire sixth grade class." So all of the sixth grade teachers and their classes came together into the cafeteria where I used to eat at. I remember the cafeteria. Cafeteria still looked the same to this day. Oh, no, actually they just moved to a different building. But the building that they were in, the cafeteria, was the exact same way. So they put all the sixth grade classes into one area in the cafeteria. And I spoke, and actually one of my cousins was in the sixth grade at the time. So it was kind of weird, you know, to see my cousin there. But I knew, you know, that was an opportunity, you know, for me to change lives. And so I didn't know that I was going to be able to do that. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that the potential I had, unless somebody challenged me like she did. She challenged me. She gave me an opportunity, but at the same time, she challenged me to be able to operate in my potential, you know. And so that's what I did. That's exactly what I did. And I went up there and I spoke to that. I was about 10 students for 5-10 minutes, and walking home, and they wanted me to come back and speak to all the sixth grade classes in that school. And it was humbling and an honor for me, because that's the school that I went to. preschool, 5th grade, 6th grade. Went to several other schools prior to me in between the preschool and 5th and 6th grade. But that was a monumental moment for me because, you know, again, I went to that school, and so I knew what went on at the school when I was there, knew the climate of the school, and I knew the, you know, the mission, the vision, you know, if you believe in, you can achieve it. I knew the mantra of the school. You know, I knew with the Silver Tip Idea Academy, it was the Eagles. Like, I knew that. I had that, you know, I had that locked in my head because the philosophy and the codes were always, you know, hammered in our head. It was hammered in our head every single day, Monday through Friday. So it came by heart to me. So being at this school, it was a great opportunity for me to do it. But those are just some examples of what I mean when I say when you have potential, and that potential, when you see that potential has to be executed. She saw it, and she may not even recognize it, but really she saw my potential as a speaker. She saw my potential as a communicator. She saw my potential as someone who could help change lives. She saw my potential as me being a role model to these kids. She saw my potential and me just being successful. So she saw it, and so as a matter of fact, this is some game changing stuff. So when she asked me, now I'm thinking about it, when I look at it now, she wasn't necessarily asking me to speak, but she saw what was in me, and when she saw what was in me, she was really talking to that. She was talking to the potential. So yes, she might have called my name. She might have said, "Kenny, would you mind speaking?" But really, she was really communicating with that thing on the inside of me that she knew, you know, and even though she may not have known it, but that she saw as someone who could speak, or someone who could help these kids, as someone who, you know, who has done good, who has graduated, you know, and I can actually share with them some life experiences, and really relate to them on a level that they can understand. These kids are probably like in fourth to fifth grade. So between third to fifth grade, these kids. So what's the third? I'm not sure, but I think 10th is the 4th grade, 11th is the 5th grade. So 9. So these kids probably 9 to 11 years old. The age didn't even bother me. You know, I knew that, you know, I had an opportunity to say something, you know, and these kids was going to, you know, they were going to receive it. So that was really good for me. But again, that's just an example of what I mean by potential and having that potential, but knowing that at the same time, that potential needs to be executed. So just some things, you know, just a, you know, kind of wanted to share. And I'll just give you a couple of things that have kind of helped me, you know, and I shared them doing that. It's been to let you know that at the end of the day, I recognize my potential. So that's what you have to do. You recognize your potential, and then you execute your potential. So by recognizing your potential, you understand what it can be. You understand what it can do. You understand how far it could go. You understand, you know, what outcome you could potentially get from it. You understand the impact that it can have, not only on you, but on those who connect with you, for those people whose lives you'll touch, you know, for those people you'll connect with on a daily basis. And knowing that when I'm recognizing that potential, I'm not only recognizing potential, but I'm recognizing what the potential can be. I'm recognizing what the potential can become once it's manifested. This is some like game changer stuff. This is like some deep stuff, y'all, that it's just been a game changer for me. So when you recognize the potential, you understand, as you recognize the potential, you're recognizing what it can do, what it can become. So when I saw my potential, I knew that I was going to be doing this. I knew that I was going to be using my mouthpiece for something. You know, whether it was through speaking, whether it was through podcasting, whether it was through videos, whether it was through writing books, I knew that, you know, there was something different on the inside of me that God wanted me to to be able to pull out from inside of me. And for some of you, what I'm afraid for is that you're gonna go through life and not really recognize what your potential is, and you're not gonna recognize, you know, what you can become, who you can become, what your potential can become, and what it could do, you know. And so from this day forward, you know, I just want this to be a call to action to every single person who has not recognized it, you know, and understanding what that means, you know, and recognizing your potential. And those situations that I kind of explained to you all, those were the situations that kind of helped me to recognize it, you know. And like I said, you know, from the assistance of other people speaking into me, I knew that those are opportunities for me to see my own potential. Because really, at the end of the day, when you think about that meeting, my academic advisor wasn't necessarily just saying that to me because he saw it, but he was saying those things to me because he wanted me to see it for myself. If you understand what I'm saying. So he already saw it, but I think, you know, what I didn't do at first, and what a lot of us struggle with, is that other people see our potential, but we don't see our potential for ourselves. And I think what's most important is being able to see your potential for yourself, because when you have other people see your potential, it gives you more confidence in that potential because you already saw it, and they're just confirming what you already saw. But when you haven't seen it, and you start hearing people who say that you have it, then it becomes foreign to you. It's not relatable. But what Dr. Forrest Wortham was trying to get me to understand is that I got potential. He wanted me to get in that mindset to know that I had the potential, and wanted me to see it. That's why he kept saying, you know, I see you as a straight A student. Those words weren't just affirmations. Those words weren't just confessions. He wasn't just saying that to do positive talk. He wasn't just positively speaking. No, he was saying, I see you as a straight A student, because that's what he really saw. Now, mind you, when I met with him during that time, that wasn't the first time that we met. We met several other times. We began to build a relationship. That's how many, it's been that long that we met. Because we begin to build a relationship, he started to become more than an academic advisor. He started to become an uncle. He started to become a father figure. He started to become a male mentor, a male role model for me. He started to become an example of what I could be, you feel me? Because I saw somebody so positive. I saw a male role model that was positive. I didn't have an older brother. I didn't have uncles who were present. My father wasn't present in my life. And so when I had that male role model, that was a great opportunity for me. It was a perfect opportunity for me to be able to see my potential. That if another man can speak it to me and tell me that you have potential, that I need to see it for myself. I know that my mom was there, and I know and I know she's been through it all with me. And I'm grateful, and I'm honored that she has been. She still is. I'm grateful. You know, like I said, my mom raised 5 children by herself, and she was going through her go through too. So while raising children, She had to go through her personal life too, you know, and having to raise children. So I understand the power of a woman, you know. But when I'm talking about is this man who was a role model to me. This was the first male role model that I ever saw that has been doing excellence. You know what I'm saying? So I built the relationship. But when he checked me, he was getting me this. He was checking me to say, you know, hey, I know you see me as a role model, but I'm here to help you to become a role model yourself. I see that you see me as a role model. I see that you see me as a mentor. I see that you see me as a big brother. I see that you see me as a person that you can that somebody can confide in. A person that can, you know, that people can be inspired by. That a person that can empower. A person that can give people opportunities. Well, like I know that you see that in me, but the reason why I'm challenging you, Kenneth, is because I want you to see that you can do that yourself. I want you to see that I'm not telling you this, and I'm not doing all of this just for me to be seen. I'm not doing all this for me to be seen. I'm not your advisor for me to be seen. I am who I am to you because I'm passing baton. Come on, y'all. Listen to me carefully, y'all. I'm passing a baton. So the example that you see in me, I'm just showing you who you can become. I'm just showing you what potential lies on the inside of you. That's what I'm doing. I'm not in this high position and high demand. An African American man, especially being at a PWI, where I went to is a straight PWI. It's a predominantly white institution. And so having a black African American man in a high position and being of inspiration to me and encouraging me and us building a relationship, that was an opportunity. But at the same time, what he was telling me was, I'm in this position because I'm not in this position just to be in this position, but I'm in this position because I want other black brothers, young men who are in college, to see where they could be if they just apply themselves and they see their own potential, they recognize their potential as the first step. And then what goes, and then it's transferred to the next step, which I'm going to say is the execution of it. It's you working that potential now. Now that you know what it is, and you know what it is that you're good at, you know your gifts, you know your talents. Like I put up a status a while ago, and you know I was saying, you know, a talent is God's gift to you, but your gift to Him is what you do with it. So talent is God's gift to you, but what you do with that gift or that talent is your gift back to Him. And so some of us, so we've been blessed with several gifts and talents. We've been blessed with certain abilities, but for many of us, like, and it's, I'm just gonna be honest, for many of us, we need to understand that God needs a return on His investment. And I'm challenging myself on that every day now. Y'all think when I'm putting up stuff that I'm just putting up stuff before that's ministered to me. If I'm putting up something, know at the end of the day that rang true with me first. I'm not just posting stuff, but that rings true with me first. And so posting stuff like that and doing that, I'm understanding now. So God has blessed a lot of us with many gifts and talents and much potential, but we're not activating it. Because again, you know, some of us may not know what the potential is. Some of us may not see it, you know, and some of us may not see, may not have individuals who have, you know, spoken into you. But that was a game changing moment for me. Being in that office with my academic advisor and having that meeting. It was an opportunity for me to see my potential, looking at his example and seeing what I could be. So this episode, I want to encourage us all to do two things. Number one, recognize your potential. Really figure out what it is that you're good at. You know, and if you may not know what your talents are, your gifts are, find a thing that you're really good at. Really find a thing that you are really good at. One thing that my wife has been on me for a long time, and I'm definitely getting back on it, is the singing. Because I have this gift, I have this singing ability, and I've been hiding it for a long time because I was afraid of, you know, what people would say. I was afraid of, you know, what if this person don't like, what if they don't like it, you know, what if I try to do it and it don't work. Like, it's just excuse after excuse after excuse. I'm just gonna be transparent, which is all these excuses, until she challenged me and said, nope, you gotta do it. Like, you know, this is something that God has given you, you gotta do it, you know. And my wife is doing it, you know. So what she's seeing in me, I've always seen. Now I just gotta come alive to it. So look, y'all, two things. You have to recognize your potential, and then secondly, you have to understand that, you know, you need to activate it. Recognize and activate. Two words: recognize your potential and activate your potential. I believe those are the two keys, just from my own personal life and what I've had to do, and even through the struggles that I went through. Recognizing my potential and knowing that I have to activate it, and by me activating my potential, I am where I am, and it's a constant work in progress. I am not an overnight thing. what y'all see, this is not an overnight thing. This is come from, it comes from extreme pressure and extreme heat and extremely being cut. You can't have a diamond, or you can't be a diamond, unless you're put under pressure, unless you're put under heat, and unless you're cut. Because it's the heat, the pressure, and the cut that makes the diamond what it is. It's the pressure, the heat, and the cut that makes the diamond worthy. It makes the diamond valuable. It's that pressure, it's that heat, and it's that getting cut. And in that reckoning, and you reckon, and in your process of activating that potential, you're gonna come against those, that pressure and that heat and getting cut, just like I did. But I knew that all my experiences, all of the things that I've been through, and all the potential that I saw, I knew that everything I was going through was preparing me for that. All right, so potential. But look, potential alone is not enough. It really is not enough. You have to activate that potential and to be able to, like I said, see it, recognize it, and activate it. So look, guys, listen, I'm excited. Thank you all so much for just tuning in and listening. I don't have too much to share on tonight. I don't have too much to share just on this podcast. That's just one of my longest ones. But hey, we in there. So thank you all so much again for just tuning in and being here with us. I kind of went off a little bit, but hey, you know what I'm saying? This is a podcast. You know what I'm saying? I'm pouring and I'm sharing with you, you know what I'm saying, just some stuff that I've learned and my experience and everything, because it's the success experience. This is why we named it. It's called the success experience because it's an experience. Success is not a destination, it is a journey. And every day we have to choose to live that journey. But for today's subject, we talked about potential not being enough. Really, potential not being enough. Potential not being enough. Again, potential alone is not enough. You have to activate it, and you have to, like I said, you have to activate it. You have to see it, and you have to activate it. You have to see it, and you have to put it to work. Seeing it alone is not enough, but when you put that potential to work, it will take you places that you never thought you could be. It will take you at greater heights. You will be able to be so free, and it'll be so revolutionized. And it'll be so changed within that process once you begin to activate what's in you. There are people who are living in this world who are average because they have not activated what's on the inside of them. And I'm not talking about, you know, people who are in situations that, or you, us being in situations that we have no control over. But the things that we do have control over, people are allowing to overrule them. And they're not able to operate and activate what's in them, because the thing that's on the outside, the thing that's a part of their life that's going wrong, is overruling their potential. So let this be the day, and let this be the year that we not only see the potential that we have, but that we also activate the potential, that we also do something with the potential that is given to us. So look, guys, this is Kenny Ground back at you guys with another episode of the Success Experience Podcast, man. Thank y'all so much, all my podcast family. Thank you so much for following, being with us every single week. We just try to give out, you know, we just try to give out great content. You know, we're not perfect, but we try to do things the best of our ability to meet you guys' needs and goals. So look, guys, again, thank you all so much for joining the podcast. First off, this podcast is one thing that we're gonna continue to share with the world for the rest of our lives. But I gotta do this before we get off. This podcast is brought to you by Kenneth Graham and Associates, which is a motivational speaking, consulting, and coaching company servicing in the areas of educational development, spiritual development, corporate development, and one-on-one coaching. Again, this podcast is brought to you by Kenneth Graham and Associates, which is a speaking and coaching company. Thank you all so much again for joining this podcast, and we will see you guys next week for our next episode. Let's go.